You can have a seat. It is so good to see your faces here tonight. And I don't know if you've been coming to Kairos for a long time or this is your very first time, but we just want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here. And if you've got a copy of your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to be studying the idea of God being generous tonight. Now, one of the things I'm so grateful for is that my parents instilled in me a very strong work ethic. They're like, son, you're going to have to work. And so from a very early age, I started working and trying to make a living. Now, here's the funny thing. It's like all the first jobs I ever had were all terrible. Like, have you like ever had a job, like especially when you're starting out, they're just like, I don't know who's getting paid to do this, but I guess it's me, and it's just absolutely ridiculous that I'm doing this job. So most of my jobs were all like that starting out. In fact, my very first job was milking cows. Okay, milking cows. That was my first job. Let me just tell you, first of all, anybody else milked a cow in this room before? Had a job? A couple of you? Okay, we got some farm folk around here. This is good. So you know, like when they show you cows being milked on television, it's a lie, okay? It seems like a very green, very wholesome thing to milk a cow on TV. It was just like, hey, we're gonna milk the cow. But if there could be nothing further from the truth. Milking cows is one of the most disgusting things you'll ever do in your life, okay? Because to a cow, the whole world is a bathroom. Even where the milk is being milked, okay? So like, my first job was $5 an hour, getting up early in the morning, riding my four-wheeler over the hill, going to the farm next to my uncle's farm, and proceeding to just having the most terrible things ever to happen to me while we're like milking these cows. And I'm just telling you, I used to drink milk all the time before I actually started milking cows. I used to think milk was delicious until I actually saw the process of how we got there. And the reason I say this is that every time that I got a paycheck, I was like, yep, I earned that, okay? They'd hand me the paycheck, I'd be like, I'm cashing this thing because I worked hard for this money. I worked hard for it. It's mine. I deserve it. I went through the most grotesque hours of my life, and now I'm going to take this, and I'm going to go buy stuff that I earned because of my labors. And there's something about work that just puts this entitlement in us that when we work hard, we deserve to get paid for what we do. And tonight we're going to be talking about an entirely different paradigm. We're going to be looking at a parable that Jesus taught that tells us a lot about our relationship to work and our relationship to God. Because sometimes when we approach God, we can come with a sense of entitlement. We're going to work hard, and then God's going to bless us. But this story that we're going to see here is that God's economy works differently. So let's read the parable together. It's in Matthew chapter 20. It's a long parable. We're going to read it all together. And it says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the workers on one denarius, he sent them into his vineyard for the day. And when he went out about 9 in the morning, he saw others standing in the marketplace all doing nothing. And he said to them, 'You also go into my vineyard, and I'll give you whatever is right.' So off they went. About noon and about 3, he went out again and did the same thing. And then about 5, he went out and found others standing around and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?' 'Because no one hired us,' they said to him. 'You also go into my vineyard,' he told them. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard told his foreman, 'Call the workers and give them their pay, starting with the last and ending with the first.' When those who were hired about 5 came, they each received 1 denarius. So when the first ones came, they assumed they would get more, but they also received a denarius each. And when they received it, they began to complain to the landowner, 'These last men put in 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who bore the burden of the day's work and the burning heat.' He replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me on a denarius? Take what's yours and go. I want to give this last man the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what is mine? Are you jealous because I am generous? Now, this story is a story that Jesus told, and it's a parable, which means if we're going to interpret a parable, we have to go by the rules by which parables are governed, okay? So every parable that Jesus told is a story with a point. And so sometimes you can go sideways when you're interpreting a parable and you start adding in a bunch of other stuff into it other than the main point that Jesus was trying to teach us. And Jesus is trying to teach us about God and about what the kingdom of God is like. And so he tells this story that would have been very commonplace for the people who lived in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was a city that had a lot of unemployed people. In fact, scholars tell us that almost 18,000 men sat around the city gates on any given day in Jerusalem looking for work. So they're just hanging out, waiting to get hired. And this story tells us that a man who owned a vineyard went to some of these men who were unemployed and hired them as day laborers in his vineyard. And he goes to them and says, I'm gonna hire you. I'm gonna pay you a denarius, which was basically a day's wages in that day. So it's a fair wage. They go, yeah, it's cool, we'll go do that. And he keeps going throughout the day and hiring more people and giving them the same deal. I'll pay you one denarius for this work. But at the end of the day, he's hired some people at the very last minute, and he pays them the exact same that he pays the first people. And they're upset about that because they're like, it's not fair. We worked all day long and they get paid the same as us, which is a thing that I think we would feel the same way too, right? There's a reason why HR departments don't tell everybody what everybody else is making, because we instantly, like, will compare, right? And I know some of us like do that math where like trying to figure out what everybody else is making so we can compare ourselves to them, right? But here you find this story being such that this reality that everybody's getting paid the same, but not everybody's working the same, is common knowledge, and they're struggling with it. Which leads us to this punchline that Jesus gives us, where he goes, hey, I can do whatever I want. Why? Because I am generous. And the owner of the vineyard says, are you jealous because I'm generous? And he gives this question out there because he's challenging the people to think differently about their relationship with God. So you see, there was another version of this story that was floating around at this time that the rabbis would say. They would tell this story, but they would tell it differently. Instead of everybody getting paid the same, not because of how hard they worked, but simply because of the generosity of the owner of the vineyard, they would tell a story that was almost exactly the same, except that those who got hired late worked harder. They worked twice as hard, that's why they got paid the same. And the moral of their parable was, work hard and you'll get stuff. The harder you work, the more you earn. But Jesus tells the story differently because he's revealing something about the way that God's economy works, about how grace works. He's telling us that we've had a false narrative about God this whole time. See, a lot of us have a narrative about God where we go, God is stingy, and God only gives me what I earn. We feel like God's almost like a judge looking down in heaven and judging us based off of our performance. Now, the Olympics just went through, and if you're anything like me, you probably watched them. And the Olympics are interesting because most of us have no framework at all on the sports that are going on, right? Like we watch them every 4 years and that's it. But when they're here, we're experts, okay? And gymnastics, yeah, right? It's like gymnastics are like that for me. Like I know nothing about gymnastics. Like they're doing this balance beam thing. I couldn't tell you why one is harder than the other. They all look equally terrifying to me, okay? The fact that someone's trying to do like flips off these things and then dismounting is terrifying. The one thing I do know is that if you land and you take a step, that's bad. Like that's literally all I know. So I act like I'm a expert though. I'm like, oh, yep, definitely deductions because they stepped wrong at the end of it. Like that's literally all I know. Or if they fall, I'm like, yep, definitely deductions. And so we think God kind of does the same thing to us. He looks at our performance And he's just constantly like evaluating us, right? Oh, you said the wrong thing. Oh, you said that swear word. Oh, you looked at the wrong stuff. Deductions. And here's the thing. When it comes to God and his economy as to how he walks with us, we need to deconstruct the way that we consider how he looks at on us. You see, a lot of us think about God and we go, I must earn God's favor. That's the false narrative. You and I must earn God's favor. I've got to do stuff for God to like me. And you know, I think one of the reasons we do this is because when we think back to our own childhood, the times where we were praised were when we did good stuff, and the times that we got in trouble were when we did bad stuff. Right? The times we remember. Now, I'm sure mom and dad at some point were like, no, you're doing great, and you didn't do anything. But most of the time, we remember getting praised is when we did good at school, or we did good at sports, or we did good, we did a good deed, and we were praised for it. But the times we got in trouble is when we didn't do those things. So there's this performance mentality that we get from an early age. But the real narrative that God wants us to have is not, hey, you must earn God's favor. The narrative God wants us to have is that God gives unearned grace. That God gives us grace. And it's not because of how hard we worked or who we know or what family we grew up in. God's grace is given to us freely, and it's not based on us. It's simply based on God's generosity because God is generous. And what you find revealed here is that God is the one who's ultimately the one who determines who gets grace and who doesn't. That's what God says. He goes, are you jealous because I am generous? Are you jealous because I'm generous? What this reveals here about this earning relationship that we have with God sometimes is that we have an inflated perception of our own power in this equation. The idea of earning presupposes control. Let me say that again. The idea of earning presupposes control. What that means is that if we think that we get God's affection because of how hard we work, we then believe that we can control how much God loves us by how hard we apply ourselves to being good. But the Bible tells us over and over again that it's not about us, that even on our very best day, we can't be good enough. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We can't be good enough to work our way to heaven. We have no control in this equation. It's all God's grace. Which brings us to the second thing I want you guys to see tonight, which is that God's generosity destroys legalism. God's generosity, because he's generous, that destroys legalism. I know some of us in this room are going, hey, I'm not a legalist. I like breaking rules. I don't like keeping them. But there's something within us that screams legalism when we see someone who's not good get in. When they break all the rules and they still get the same as us. When we think about our performance, we think that's what's gonna make God love us. And here's where it creeps up. When we do bad things and we feel like we're dirty and we're broken, we start going, it's because of my stuff that I stand before a holy God and he likes me. But here, God reveals that it's only his generosity that allows us to stand before him. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean? If we have a God that's generous and he's given us an equal wage to those who've been working in God's kingdom, and it's not really about us or what we bring to the table, but it's God, then what do we do about that? Well, I've got two things I want you to consider. First is, if that's the way it goes, is that we should get in on it as soon as possible. Right? We should get in on it. What you find is every single person who received the wage, the denarius, were people who got hired. who got hired, who received the invitation to work and said, I want to get in on it. I want to get in on it. They didn't wait. They didn't like say, hey, I'll get back to you. I'll weigh my offers. They simply said, we're going to go step into this right now. And some of us, you know, we may be thinking tonight, like, hey, listen, I want to be a part of what God is doing, but man, I've done some bad stuff and I don't know if I can get in. I don't know if God will let me in. Man, I don't know, maybe I should have done this a couple years ago. And I've gone too far. I haven't started early enough. Here's the reality of the gospel. It doesn't matter how late you are to the game, you can still get in. You can still get in. Now, at my age, I feel this reluctance about some things. You know, I wish that I would apply myself more to be a guitarist. Every time I see Boggs playing up here, I'm like, man, I took lessons and I just stopped. Man, I wish I could start again. And I think I'm too late to get good at playing guitar. But the reality is I could start now if I really wanted to. Same is true about a lot of other stuff. I know some people who are like, man, I really wish I could start doing martial arts, but I don't want to fight little kids where they start out with like little white belts. It's just embarrassing to do that. I'm not going to do it. But the reality is if you want to go MMA, you can start now, right? You can. You can learn. It's never too late to start. That's what we see in the story, right? The ones who come at the end of the day still get the full wage. The ones who are late to the game, they still get in. And if that's you tonight, just know it's never too late to get in. Now, I know the second thing is a harder one to hear, and that is this, is that my invitation to you tonight is to not game God, okay? You might go, what do you mean, not game God? Well, see, when I read this story, I think about the people who were the last ones in, and I go, that's who I want to be. Have you ever thought that? Like, you're like, oh yeah, it's cool. They hardly worked, and they still got the same amount, right? So my calculus is like, how can I do the least amount of work and still get the most stuff out of it? So if I do that, then I'm very efficient and I can get as much out of both God and the world. If I can do that, then I'm golden. So what I'm gonna do when I hear the story is I'm gonna live for myself, and then maybe at the last part of my life, then I'm gonna make things right with God, and then I can get both everything I want out of this world, and I get heaven too. But that's not how this works. We don't know how long our story will be. We don't know when our life will be over. We can't know that, and the stakes are too high. We have to make sure that we're in. And if you're going, well, I don't know if I want to be in, let me just take us to another part of the story, a little different part of the parable, because I think sometimes we think about this within the context of work, and we think that work is something we want to avoid, right? Because we all want to live for the weekend. We want to do as little as we can so that we can enjoy the rest of our life. But here's the fun part of the story, is that this story doesn't tell us everything that there is about a relationship with God. It's not only about earning, it's about being part of the family. See, the great part is that God tells us that we're not just his employees, but we're his children. I want you guys to look with me in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, the Apostle John is writing this about us. And he says this, he goes, see what great love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are. I love that little tagline at the end, right? He goes, see how amazing God's love is for you, that he's called you God's child. And then he goes, and we are. Like, he's like, we're not just called it, right? We actually are his children. We're not just called God's children. We actually are. God has brought us into his family, and it's just not in name only. We are children of the Almighty God. And so when God invites us into his work, when he invites us into the vineyard to go work, we're not entering in as hired hands. We're entered into children of the family business. Because God tells us someday we're going to inherit it all. One thing I love about my kids is the stage of life they're in. So I got a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old, is that they love spending time with dad. okay? They just love spending time with me, which is awesome, and it sometimes is a burden, okay? So like, literally like, if I try to get anywhere alone in the house, they'll track you down, okay? They'll just be like, where's dad? Where's dad? Where's dad? They don't care anything when I'm in the room. They ignore me. As soon as I go off to go do anything else, to go look at my phone and check my fantasy football score, or like, I'm gonna go read a book somewhere, there's like, where's dad? Where's dad? So they start like hunting you in the house, okay? You can't even go to the bathroom. They'll come hunt you. They'll like look for you everywhere, okay? Because they want to be with dad. And it's so cute because when you're doing something that's around the house, they want to be a part of it. So I was doing some landscaping last weekend, and I was hauling mulch and spreading it in my gardens. And my kids were around me going, how can we help? I want to help. So I started like sending them to do tasks, like pick up those sticks or move those rocks. And they weren't mad about it. They were excited because they just wanted to be with me. Because they want to be around what I am doing. They want to be close to me. And so what if we take this parable and we just turn it on its head and say, you know what? Instead of saying, hey, I want to get into this as late as I possibly can so I can get paid, then instead we say, you know what? The vineyard someday is going to be mine. And so I want to be a part of it. I want to be with dad as he's there. I want to be with dad because he's there. And when God invites us in and he invites us into his vineyard, into what he's doing, the crazy thing about God's generosity is that it's far more than a day's wages. It's the vineyard itself. Now, God is our Father, and he's generous, that at some point we should start looking like our Heavenly Father. Now, it's funny because like my dad is a larger-than-life character. He and my mom, they come here to Kairos. And what I've found recently is that I'm starting to become a lot more like my dad. As I've gotten older, some of the things I used to make fun about my dad, I'm doing. It's like so annoying. And the phrase like, you're just like your dad, is like so true for me. I'm sure it's the same for you. There's things that you do that are just like your mom or your dad, right? You're like, you have the same eyes or you have some of the same behaviors. For me, it's like I started making some of the same sounds that my dad makes. The other day I was like focusing on something. I realized I was making this noise and I was like, who's making that noise? Where's my dad? No, wait, that's coming out of my mouth. It says me. Because I'm like my dad. I start looking and acting like my dad. I used to make fun of the way my dad would sit all the time. I'm like, why do you cross your legs like that? And now I sit like that all the time. I don't know why. It's just probably because I'm a lot like my dad. And the same thing is true, is that if our Heavenly Father is generous, we should also be generous. We should be generous people. And I know in a religious setting like this, like in a service, a church service like this, we immediately start thinking, okay, Mike's now about to start talking about giving to the church, which I'm not. Although it's good to do that, okay? So everybody know it's good to give to your church. It's good to support the mission. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about generosity as a virtue, as part of who we are as God's children, because we look like him. And I don't know about you, but being generous sometimes can be so hard because I'm busy and I've got a plan for my life and I've got places to go and I've got stuff to do. And it's very hard to be generous with my time and my attention and my heart and my money, because I've got stuff to do, I've got places to be, and I've got a list that I'm trying to check off. Anybody else like list makers here? Anybody else? Okay, I'm not alone. Like, the day is a good day if you check off the list. Just check that thing off all day long, okay? If I get all my things checked off, I'm like, great day. And the thing that is so hard for me is not doing the plan I woke up with, the one I've been planning for that day. When I have somebody interrupted, I start like sweating. I like start like breaking out in hives. It's like so hard for me to be flexible and give people my attention when they're coming to me and I'm like, I haven't planned for it. That's how bad it is, okay? Like, this is my time to be available. Please don't bother me past this, okay? But being someone who's generous says, I'm open-handed with everything that I have. And if you have a need, I want to try to meet it. That's what being generous is all about. And that's what God reveals to us in Jesus. that God is ultimately the most generous person because he sent himself so that we could have access to the Father and become his. So thinking about this idea that we should start looking like our Heavenly Father and thinking about the idea that God has invited us in to be generous people, I want to pitch an idea to you. See if you're going to if you would want to do this with me this week. And this is not my idea. This is Boggs's idea. Boggs is brilliant, by the way. He comes up with stuff like this all the time. But basically, the idea that we want to present to you is, what would it look like if we embraced generosity this week? And anytime that we saw a need come in front of us this week, if we were able to, that we would just meet it. Okay? So that means, see someone stranded, try to help them. Someone needs a listening ear to say, you know what? What I'm doing next is not as important as the person right in front of me. I'm going to listen to them. If you see someone who needs a meal, that you would provide for them. If you see someone who's lonely, that you would provide friendship, invite them to be a part of your crew. That every time this week, between now and the next Kairos, we see someone with a need, that we would just say, I'm going to be generous because God has been generous to me. And I believe that if we do this, if we just kind of like open our eyes and just look around us and just kind of take our eyes off of our plan, God could do something really cool through us and through this ministry. And so if you want to do that, just make the decision right now. Like, I'm going to be generous with any need that comes in front of me. I'm going to try to find a way to meet it. And then one of the things I'm going to try to do is I'm going to record it on my phone at the end of every day, which things those were, because otherwise I'm just going to forget. You don't have to ever share that with anybody else. You can if you want. But I want to be intentionally generous like God is generous. That's what I walked away with this text, thinking about it. So I was praying over it. It's like, I want to look like my dad. I want to be more generous as a person. Why? Because when I do it, something unreal is unlocked within my heart. I start living open-handed, and God can do incredible things through someone whose hands are open. So let's pray. God, as we consider generosity, as we consider your incredible generosity for us, we recognize that in Jesus, the one who was rich beyond all imagination became poor for us. And you chose poverty. You chose to be born to two broke teenagers. And you literally became poor so that we could become yours and we could become rich. Not necessarily rich financially, but that we could inherit the kingdom of God. And we could be a part of what you're doing. And we could say yes. So God, as we step into this week, my desire is that you would show up. That this would be a step where we can see you do something really incredible, where our faith would grow as you bring needs in front of us, and that if we can, that we would meet them. That we see the person in front of us like you do and just say, God, I'm here to be an agent of the gospel to make a difference in this person's life, and I'll meet that need. And I pray as a result, God, that you would do something incredibly beautiful through this community here at Kairos. So right now, God, I pray a blessing over every single voice in this room, every single soul in this room, every single heart in this room. I pray you put a blessing upon them. God, I pray you put a blessing upon them so they can be a blessing. I pray that you give them courage. I pray that you give them passion. I pray you give them favor because they are yours and you are enough. So God, I pray that as we leave this place tonight, as we take a transitional step from a time of worship at the end of this night and we go back to our ordinary lives, that they would not be ordinary anymore, but they would be a moment where we see you use us. And that these moments would count. That they would count for eternity. We pray these things, Jesus, in your precious and holy name. Amen.